And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours. On today's show, a tip for kids in the car line to start us off. Got plenty of Texas football conversation. What's the most difficult game on the Longhorn schedule outside of Ohio State? We'll ask the Buck that question. Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian both taking some shots at Ole Miss. We'll break all of that down. We've got some NBA postseason action to dive into. The Lakers are out. The San Antonio Spurs are back in action tonight. We've got the BBK news, why today's not so bad, and a couple of great guests joining us throughout today's program. We appreciate y'all joining us here on a Tuesday. And the Buck is back after a load management day yesterday. Good to see you, my man. How are you today?
It's good to be back. It's a beautiful day. Yes, it is absolutely good to be back. Running around, getting some last minute seconds or whatever it is, things ready for the mullet open on Friday. So, you know, it all seems to come down to that last 4 or 5 days when all kinds of stuff starts to pop up. Do you have this? Do you have enough of that? Are there enough rooms? Are there enough, you know, this? Thank our good friends over at Kenville Cars. We needed 10 other golf carts out there. That's what kind of mullet open this is. This thing is jam-packed, the most ever. So it's good to have, hey, it's good to have people in high and low places for sure. And that's a big deal. Kenville Cars are absolutely the best around. They do business with us. They do business with golf courses all over Central Texas, and they're happy to do it. They've got a group playing in this mullet open for the first time out of 25 years. They've jumped on board. We have a couple groups that are actually playing for the first time on year 25, which is a good thing. So I'm excited about that. But everything is good. Feeling good. Like I said, a lot of details. Going to go back in that shed again today and get some stuff put in boxes. Oh, I hate going into that place. It is such a mess. It is a mess. And my wife would like for it not to be a mess any longer. So,
well, after Friday, it won't be, right?
Oh, no, it's all gone. It is all cleaned up. And then there's stuff in there, of course, BK, that is tools and things that I will never use. That if I go to a place, I get another one of those. My wife says, you got like three of these. What do you need all these hedge clippers for? You don't clip the hedges. I go out there and cut the roses. She goes, but you only need one. Why are there three hedge clippers? I don't get that. Then you got electric hedge clippers. I'm like, oh, I saw that somewhere. I just had to have it. Harbor Freight or something had a sale. It's just like a regular dude. I got dude stuff.
Dude stuff. You got to have dude stuff. Although you don't trim your hedges, which I feel like you should apologize to your wife for that one. You know?
Yes. Well, I did. Remember, I had surgery a couple of weeks ago. My hedges from that are still trimmed.
Oh, they trimmed him for you, right?
I did. No, I did it. Remember, I'd used the dog shears. And I got it done. Well, that hasn't come back. You know, like the hair on my head doesn't grow back. I figured out down there, that ain't coming back real quick either.
Oh, God. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that's not the tip for kids. But here's your tip, kids. Thanks to our good friends, of course, at Relax the Back. If everything feels easy all the time, you're probably not growing. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable.
Okay. If everything feels easy all the time, you're probably not growing.
Yeah. Don't get too comfortable.
I like that one.
You like that one?
It's good for kids. It's good for adults. It's good for everybody.
Absolutely.
Don't get too comfortable. You want to be growing. You want to be getting better as a human being. And if you're doing the same thing every day and it just feels easy, then you're not really getting better.
No, if you're doing something different a lot of times and it's easy, that's okay. But if you're doing the same old thing and it's way too easy, you're way too comfortable.
I like that.
You like that one?
Yeah. Tip for kids brought to you by Relax the Back. Special
love
shout
our friends
out
at Relax the Back. Love to get back into this because my back needed it because I'm out there messing around with wheelbarrows yesterday like an old fool. You know, which is nuts. By the way, good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much. We appreciate what you do for us each and every day. We appreciate your family sharing you with all of us, and do be safe out there, all of you, please.
Yes, indeed. Well said, as always. So,
BK, before you go, before you start, let me just say this. Dude, I missed you guys yesterday, but over the weekend, dude ran onto the runway in Denver and got sucked up in the engine.
Oh.
That's called, you know, that's the kind of delays that I don't, you know what I'm saying? Remember how I don't like delays? Don't be doing that.
Some random guy ran onto the runway?
In Denver, I don't know. They don't even know how he breached whatever he had to breach. I don't know.
Oh, it wasn't like a airline employee. It was just some guy who jumped the fence and was running on the tarmac?
Yeah, and I think it was on takeoff, got sucked up in there. They had to evacuate. Hey, did not get to the destination because the guy got sucked in the engine. What is up with these people? What's up with people? Is this the new way to go out?
Way to go right there. That's got to be pretty low on my list of power rankings on ways I'd like to die, getting sucked in by an airplane engine. No, thank you.
He didn't feel it for long, though, right?
I don't know.
It's just the initial blade cutting. Doesn't seem like the right way, you know?
I don't really want to think about that.
Yeah, but I'll just say this. Death is, that's hard. We don't want anybody to die, but my goodness, I'm just trying to get out of Denver. Come on now. I think it was Delta.
I was hoping to start the show on a more positive note than that, but now we're talking about Delta. Guys dying via airplane.
Hey, pick Delta too.
Was he trying to die?
I got to believe he was. I mean, he got hit by, he was standing in the runway.
Right. Like, what are you trying to do? Is he trying to get a free flight? You know, the prices of flights these days are insane. So he's thinking, maybe if I just jump the fence, I don't have to deal with the lines of TSA, and I could just sneak on the plane. Hey, wait, hold the plane. Was that his bit?
That's a bad bit. Those engines don't.
It turned out to be a bad bit. If it worked, maybe not a bad bit. But
hey, those engines don't reject bodies.
No, I feel like, those things move pretty fast, but. You know, there's like lines on the ground. I feel like maybe you can avoid where the planes are going. Perhaps he wanted to get crushed.
I think he did. I think he was for certain looking for death. Other ways, though, I got to believe.
There are other ways to do it. And well, don't do that, people in Austin. We like y'all too much.
And we're trying to get to where we need to get to. We don't want you doing that.
No, they had to stop the plane?
There was smoke. The engine blew up. There was smoke in the another like dead body smell in the engine, smelling like steak with the smoke inside the plane.
This was a departing plane. This was not something that had just landed. This was about to take off. Oh my God. Well,
hit him pretty fast. Like I said, he didn't feel it for very long.
Oh, you talked to him.
No, I'm presuming that it was just one thud and there wasn't a lot of pain, 10 seconds later. I think he was probably a goner on impact.
What do you do with that plane?
I'm not getting back in it.
I'm just saying in general, like, is that plane going to work ever again? Or you just have to.
Yeah, they put new engines in there. Hey, clean it up. Let's go. We're trying to get places.
Yeah, we got human-free engines here that we've got waiting in the wings, no pun intended.
Yeah, really, waiting in the wing. That's not good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's that story. A little BBK news for you to open up a Tuesday show. Thoughts and prayers to that guy. But, again, that feels like he was trying to have that happen, so maybe we shouldn't thank or pray for him too much. If only he did that on Spirit Airlines right before they shut down.
He's not going to go. Those blades aren't sharp enough. He's going to feel that pain.
Oh, the Spirit Airlines?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have any blades anymore because they don't have any planes anymore.
Oh, God.
Spirit Airlines no longer with us as we obviously broke down their situation last week. All right, let's dive into the sports conversation here on a Tuesday show. Rodney Rodriguez, who was filling in for you yesterday. Him and I got into this debate a little bit, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this conversation as well. I'm going to pull up the Texas Longhorns 2026 football schedule, and I'm going to ask you, what's the most difficult game outside of Ohio State that the Longhorns have. I feel like most people feel like the Buckeyes is the toughest game on the slate. Obviously, sure. They've had Texas's number the last couple of years. I think they are going to be the preseason number one team in college football here in 2026. If they're not number one, they're not going to be outside of the top three. They've got a legit team. They are national championship contenders. Ohio State doesn't really need an introduction. Everybody knows how good they are. So I feel like if you asked a bunch of Longhorn fans, hey, what's the toughest game this year? I think the majority would say Ohio State. So we're removing the Buckeyes. Yeah. Removing the Buckeyes from the equation. You get the other 11 regular season games. And I'll ask you the same question I asked Rodney yesterday. What do you think is the other toughest game for the Longhorns in 2026?
Oh, Rodney probably said OU and Texas A&M. Those are the two easiest on the slate. What is he? I know he's probably thinking those two. Those aren't hard games. Those aren't ever hard games. Those are easy games. That's just, those are wins. Just go ahead and put big W's on those spots. Going to LSU is going to be tough. Well, I think, I believe that's one of the tough games on the schedule. I never like playing Florida. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad they are. I don't like that game, but I'm glad it's here this year.
Yeah, the last time Texas played Florida here in Austin, things went very, very well.
Yeah, and I think they will go that way this year, but I think that's one that always worries me. I don't know. It must be the Gators, just SEC, the Gators for years and years. That just seems like a tough game, period. But I'm not going to put Texas A&M or OU as tough games. Those are wins. Those are wins. But going to LSU, the environment at LSU will be different for a lot of guys, I got to believe.
That's what Rodney said, too. Don't be putting words in his mouth. He didn't say Oklahoma. He didn't say Texas A&M.
He didn't?
No. He also talked about that November 14th trip to Baton Rouge, Texas at LSU.
Yeah.
And it's the Bayou Bengals, obviously a new coach with Lane Kiffin taking over. They put together the best transfer portal class of all time. I know the portal hasn't been going on for that long, but they did a tremendous job totally revamping their roster, and they feel like they've got a shot to compete for a playoff spot in the first year of the Lane Kiffin era. Obviously, now with the portal, it's easier to turn things around quicker than ever before. But, yeah, that's a hostile environment. It's probably going to be a night game at Tiger Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Super talented team, great head football coach. That's the game Rodney mentioned, and that's kind of the game that I mentioned too.
Yeah, and it's and because it's that far into the season, you know, they'll have their ups and downs, but they'll be, I mean, everybody will be, you got to be peaking by that time, you know,
yeah,
in the season anyway.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, we're making this prediction on May 12th. We'll obviously know so much more about both of these teams by November 14th. I mean, that's the 10th game of the year for both of these teams. So, I mean, I feel better about Texas being better than LSU, but, like, you know, maybe Texas is not as good as we thought, or maybe LSU, it's like, well, it's the first year of a head coach. Maybe it's not all coming together as quickly as they would have liked. I mean, LSU, I don't think they're going to be like 4-5 going into week 10, but maybe they're not really playing for a spot in the SEC title game or a spot in the college football playoff, and they're not as good as people anticipated, and that doesn't end up being the second toughest game for Texas this year. But as of right now, you just look at the talent that they have on that roster. And then again, the atmosphere and where you have to play. And another thing that we touched on yesterday, I'd feel a lot better about at LSU if it was in September or early October.
Yeah, I would too.
Than I do with it being later in the season, because obviously that means they've got time to mesh and build that chemistry, because they're going to need to with all of the new pieces that they have coming in from all over the country.
Yeah, I mean, the game at Tennessee will be it'll just be different. I don't know how tough it'll be, but I think going to Knoxville will be something. It'll be special for the players. I got a chance when I was in college to play at Boston College. We played University of Tennessee there. That was an amazing, you know, because I had never seen anything like that before in my life. I mean, I'd just never seen it. I playing, you know, at Boston College with 38,000. Going to Knoxville, Tennessee, you know, I thought going to Penn State was something. That's before they put up the big Erector set there. But going to a place like that, that was totally amazing to me. It's loud. It's on the river there. It's scenic. It feels like football history when you're there.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a fun road trip for a lot of Texas fans. And I mean, there are some fun ones on the schedule this year. And obviously places that Texas hasn't played at in a long time or ever in some cases. Yeah, Tennessee, that's the conference opener at the end of September. I do like playing the fake UT early in the year because they're a team with quarterback questions, right? They don't know who their starting quarterback is. The guy with the highest ceiling is a true freshman, Faison Brandon, who I just don't know if he's going to be the guy that early in the season. So they've got some questions there. That's an opponent you like to get in the first month. But, I mean, Neyland, they've already announced it's going to be the Checker Neyland game. There's going to be 100,000 Vols fans going nuts. They don't like Texas. I don't think they like anybody, but they hold a grudge over the UT versus UT thing. And, yeah, that's the Florida spot. I mean, the Florida game was the first SEC game last year. The Longhorns went on the road to a hostile environment, and they got punked. And I'm here to tell you, I think 2026 Tennessee is going to be a lot better than 2025 Florida ended up being. So if you aren't buttoned up and ready to roll, what's something you've talked about a lot, Buck, if you don't have things ready for week one this year, then you could find yourself in a pretty similar situation as last year where you drop your first two power conference games of the season.
Yes, yes. You don't want to be trying to figure out things by the Tennessee game, with new wrinkles. You need to have stuff ready to go. You need to have that stuff all honed in those first three games, because, well, we know what the Bobcats are all about. I didn't even want to put that down. That's already known. That's well known. That's going to be a thriller in Manila or in Austin right there as it is. So you should be pretty tuned in by the time you get to Tennessee, BK. You need to have all your ducks in a row,
Yeah.
They need a fast start. This team needs a fast start, a fast offensive, special teams, defensive start this football season.
You'd like to have it all figured out by week two. Forget week four against Tennessee. You want to have everything buttoned up like you're talking about when the Buckeyes come to town.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't have a choice there, but to have it, you need to have it buttoned up by the end of fall camp for sure.
Right.
That's what we're truly talking about is your team is ready and you're not having a bunch of penalties. You're not screwing things up. Your special teams, you're not having things all screwed up in special teams. You're ready to go. So when you play, you're just kind of fine tuning things against Texas State. Then you're ready to play a tough game. And then is that the Roadrunners? The Roadrunners coming back here again?
Oh, yeah.
Or are we just keeping the money in state? Is that what we're trying to do?
Yeah, supporting the University of Texas system.
Okay, well, that's okay. And then Tennessee, yeah, your stuff should be pretty buttoned up by going to game four. Because, if it's not, then that's a bad stretch coming in after that.
Well, I know the Ohio State game is a non-conference game, but we saw what a non-conference loss can do to your playoff hopes last year. And you don't want to go and
beat them. It's time to beat them.
It's time to beat them. And also, I mean, not only are you just annoyed with the way the last two meetings have gone, but it's also you don't want to go into conference play already using one of your two mulligans.
Not when you're playing nine conference games.
Right, exactly. And Texas, I mean, there are some metrics out there that say the Longhorns have the toughest schedule in America. Not just the toughest schedule in the SEC, not just the toughest schedule in power
because all of America figured that OU is a tough game and A&M is a tough game. They don't know those teams like we know that they're pieces of crap. It doesn't matter.
But I'm with you on that. I feel confident in both of those games, but those are still tough games. I mean, you're probably talking about two preseason top 10 teams with OU and A&M, and you have neither of them at home. Right? Obviously, you get the Sooners in Dallas, and you go to College Station to end the year. So
we can play them right out here at 171 Dakota Mountain Drive if we have to. It doesn't matter. We can go up and down the street here and play them.
Yeah, well, that would be in Austin, so that'd be more of a home field than what Texas. I guess it's Dripping Springs, but you know what I mean. That's closer to UT than College Station or Dallas are. Those are tough games by the metrics, by the analytics. And, I think Texas is going to – it pains me to say I don't think Texas is going to beat Oklahoma as badly as they've beaten them the last 2 years. And, A&M, it's not going to be an easy win. If you're asking me right now to say, do I think Texas is going to win both of those games? Yeah, of course I do. But those are not easy. I mean, you've got Ole Miss coming to town on October 24th. They could be a preseason top 10 team. Obviously, your month of November, three of your four games are on the road, including that trip to Baton Rouge that we were talking about earlier. So it is a tough slate. And, what Texas did last year, again, they lost their first two power conference games of the year. They started 3-2, and of course you had four non-conference games, so that kind of inflated the record. But Texas basically had to play perfect football over the last 2 months of the season to get into the playoff. They went 7-1, but they lost one to Georgia on the road. So, like, you don't want to put yourself in a position where, oh my God, you're 2-2 after Tennessee, and you got to go 8-0 with no bye weeks, by the way, because after the bye between Tennessee and Oklahoma, it's 8 straight games to close the year. You can't put yourself in that position where you have to be perfect for 2 months worth of games to make it to the playoff.
You have to really take advantage of the teams that have new coaches that are trying to figure out their way. I mean, I don't care when the game is, but LSU has a new coach. Arkansas has a new coach. The Gators have a new coach. So I don't care if it's the fifth game or the eighth game and they're trying to figure it out. That's still tough. You got to beat those guys.
Yeah. You can't have a – I know you don't have Georgia on the schedule this year, which is obviously a good thing. I
mean, always.
Texas had to play at Ohio State and at Georgia last year. Like, that's as tough as it gets in college football in the 2020s. But, I mean, you can't have that Florida-like loss where you look back and you're like, how the hell did we lose to that team?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right about that. You can't have that – like you said, you can't have that Tennessee loss – and look back, how did we lose to Tennessee in game number 4? You can't do it. It can't be any of that. If you want to have that, the dream year that you're talking about, and I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not going to say it's going to be undefeated. I'm just saying you can't lose. And especially, like I said, anybody that's got a new coach, BK, you need to thump those guys and let them know what the rest of their careers are going to be like playing against Texas. And you got to get them while you can get them.
I like that.
I think the first year is the year to get them.
Right. Now that makes sense. I mean, your coach is in year 6 and you've got a few year 1 coaches on the schedule. You've got your culture established. You've got your roster built the exact way that you want it. You should be taking care of business against teams that are, you know, still trying to figure things out under a new staff. Right. I'm with you on that. I mean, there are just some games here that you feel like Texas cannot lose because they have so many tough opponents. Like, you can't lose to Florida again. I don't think Florida's going to go 4-8, but you can't lose to that team and you get them at home. You can't.
If you have the dog fight with them and you just win the game, that's okay.
That's fine. It's not a loss, right? If you would have dog fought against Florida last year and won in the swamp, then you would have been in the playoff and nobody would be talking about that right now. You know, Mississippi State in Austin on October 31st. Like, you can't lose that game. I know Mizzou's on the road the following week, November 7th. If you're a playoff team, you're not losing to Mizzou. You're not losing to Arkansas in between LSU and A&M. I know that's a trap game in between two tough road trips. Like, those are the games that you absolutely cannot lose because of all of the difficult contests that you have the rest of the way.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mizzou's got a running back with a bullet in his leg somewhere, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, that sucks. That's a horrible story from the weekend. That is a horrible story. Who led the SEC in rushing last year, getting shot at a concert, and sounds like he's going to make it, but obviously no idea what that means for future of his football career.
Absolutely. You just don't know. Guy going to a concert, next thing you know, he's got a bullet in his leg.
Well, I would be saying what I said about Mizzou regardless of that situation, but perhaps this is a bit obtuse, but if he's not playing, then that makes it an even more must-win game.
Because that dude's an animal.
Because he is a monster and he is a matchup nightmare, or at least he was in 2025. So, yeah, I mean, there's certain games that you just feel like you can't lose. And, I mean, it's a tough
schedule. I hate to say it, but I feel that way in game 2, week 2. I just don't.
Yeah, you know, I talked about earlier not wanting to start 2-2. I mean, you don't want to start 2-1. Like, you would like to go into SEC play still being able to lose 2 conference games. Of course, you don't want to lose any. Let's just get that out of the way. You'd love to go 12-0 or 11-1. That's always best case scenario, but we kind of know how it works. If the Longhorns go 10-2 with this schedule, they are going to make the college football playoff. So for me,
I would be highly disappointed if they lose to Ohio State. It won't be one of those. Well, you know, Ohio State's pretty good, too. I won't feel that way. I'll feel like, no, you needed to beat Ohio State this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It can't be one of those, you know, we're missing this guy or that guy or we got a young – no, there's nothing. You have everything that you want in place to beat them at home now.
I agree 100%. And, look, if you lose that game
– it's not the end of the world, but to me, that's a win. You got to win that game. That's one at home. That's one you got to have. Can't play them 3 times and not beat them.
If you start 1-1, that means you have to go 9-1 over your final 10 yes. games to guarantee that you have a spot in the playoff. Like I know the committee's talking about changing the way they evaluate teams this year, but
yeah, we know what they do.
Yeah, after what happened to the Longhorns this past season, nobody trusts that a 9-3 Texas team is going to have a shot, even if the schedule is the toughest in the country. Even if they do have some incredibly quality wins, if that magic number is 10, you got to get to 10 wins right there. And
yes.
yeah, if you go into conference play undefeated, again, that means you have much more margin for error than you would if you do lose to Ohio State for the third consecutive time. And it's not like we're talking about this from the lens of, okay, just making the playoff, because obviously, you know, you make the playoff, that's how you have a shot to compete for a national championship. But this is not a team that just wants to make it into the field of 12. This is a team
right.
that wants to be playing in Vegas next January, the national
right, and want to look good, and want to look good playing like some of the teams we saw last year when Miami got on a roll. You want to see your team looking really good, you know, right from the start. You know, finding your way and just getting it done, and not having a bunch of, you know, oh, you know, if we didn't do this, we'd have beat them by 2 times. Not none of that stuff. Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as last year, right? Like, if you can't beat teams like Ohio State and Georgia,
right,
probably not going to win a national title.
You're right. You're like absolutely right.
You can lose to those kind of teams and still make the playoff and maybe win a game or two in the playoff like Texas has done. But if you can't beat, like, those are the teams that have dominated the sport in recent years. And I know Indiana won it last year, and I know Michigan's won it 3 years ago. But, like, the most consistent teams at the top in college football in the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years have been Ohio State and Georgia. You only yes. get to play one of them this year. Last year, you played both of them. You lost both of them. This year, you get a chance to really showcase your stuff against one of those teams. You get them in week two. You get them at home. Beat no them. Time like the present to find a way to get this one done.
I agree.
I say the present. I mean, we still got, four months now?
Yes.
Today's May 12th. 4 months on the nose until the Buckeyes or the Suckeyes. See, I can't even talk trash about them. Until we beat them?
It's hard. Isn't it hard? And I want to, like I said, I grew up in football at the University of Illinois, beating them every time I played them for 5 years. I never lost to them, home or away. And I'm talking about Ohio State, and I'm talking about lousy Illinois. We beat them every year. It didn't matter what they looked like. They were the best-looking team on the hoof. There was only one other team that looked better than them when they came off the bus in uniform, and that was Notre Dame. And this group right here, I would sit there with the offensive line coach on the sideline and go, how are we going to stop? How are we going to beat them? And every year we found a way. They just found a way to beat them. I don't know if it was John Cooper. Probably it was John Cooper. That was probably the reason, you know, who that was the head coach at that time. But it was – and then it was like – I don't know. Maybe Texas feels the same way about Georgia. It looks the same way as when I was at Illinois when we played Michigan. It was like I told you, that guy would slap John McAvoy across his face. Bo would slap him on the head or something and treat him like a little kid, like a little stepson. And then they would go to pounding the living dog crap out of us. Mm. And McAvoy wouldn't talk to anybody for like 2 weeks after. I'm like, dude, why are you mad? We can't beat them. We never beat them. You're not. You should be excited that we beat Ohio State and we don't lose to both of them all the time. But it was like no contest against Michigan every year. It was like, man, you'd be in the locker room, BK, and before you go out, it was like heads were down on the way through the tunnel at Michigan or even at home.
Texas,
Ohio State, Texas everybody's has so sky high. I'm like, why are you? I said, Ohio State looks better. They look in the uniform. They look better than Michigan. We should be able to go and beat the Wolverines. But no, it was just a mindset.
Well, Texas has become the opposite of that, right? Whenever Texas plays Michigan, there's no problem.
They own them.
Whenever Texas plays Ohio State, it's a problem. And perhaps there is a little bit of a mental thing now with the Longhorns and the Buckeyes because of what's gone on in the last two matchups. I don't know. But whatever it is, they got to exercise some demons on September 12th. They got to find a way to win that game so I could talk trash about Ohio State fans.
Yeah, it's hard to talk trash against them.
Yeah, I want to call them the Suckeyes. I want to say, you know, an Ohio State diploma is so valuable that if you put it on your dashboard, you can park in a handicapped spot. I want to make jokes like that about them. But until Texas beats them, I can't.
No, and I don't want to be saying that about Tennessee. I don't want to be saying those things about some of these schools playing them for the first time in the SEC. Get rid of Ole Miss and Tennessee, and then go to Baton Rouge at night, because that's what it'll be. You're right, it'll be a night game. You got to, by that time of the year, things will mean so much. You know what I'm saying? One way or the other, by the time November rolls around.
Yeah, I do get a kick out of Texas beating these traditional SEC schools who were so upset and up in arms when the Longhorns got invited to join the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Texas has come in and dominated pretty much across the board. I mean, the Longhorns, you know, they won 8 SEC championships in their first year in the league, more than anybody else. They've won 6 so far in year 2, more than anybody else. And I know it just grinds their gears that the new kid on the block is just taking the hottest girl and running. And to go in there and to beat some of those teams, so obviously Texas hasn't played in football yet since joining the conference, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like you said, that Tennessee game, that thing will be electric there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's – we saw it in baseball, and baseball's not football. But Texas just played in Knoxville this past weekend, and that place was electric. And, again, Tennessee fans, I don't think they really like anybody in this league, but they don't like Texas for whatever reason.
And even more so that you've got a Manning playing quarterback at Texas and not, you know, in one of their uniforms. So that is going to be huge too.
Yeah, you've got a lot of Manning ties, right, with Ole Miss and Tennessee on the schedule this year. So that's definitely something to pay attention.
You don't think they made it that way? You don't think they figured that out in the SEC?
Yeah, exactly. It worked out conveniently well because Texas didn't play either of those teams the last 2 years, but there was no way they were missing the opportunity for those storylines. Absolutely not.
Storylines are too good for that.
Last thought on this. Rodney, you tried to predict which teams Rodney was going to answer, right? You're like, I bet Rodney said Oklahoma or A&M are the two toughest non-Ohio State games for the Horns this year. You know which game Rodney thought you would say was the toughest?
What's that?
The Bobcats.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, he doesn't understand. People just don't understand that game. Hey, you'll find out here shortly in a couple months.
I sure as hell hope we don't find out. Shortly, longly, anytimely.
Oh, you will be so mad. Oh, if they look sloppy against that group, you are going to be so upset going into week 2. You are going to be so – it'll be hard to hold you back. If they go in there with 12 penalties – in game number 1 and drop pass, you are going to be so upset playing the week of Ohio State game is going to be just, it's going to be hard to be positive, won't it?
Yeah, it's going to be impossible to be positive. I'll be selling my tickets to the Ohio State game.
No, dude, that game, that's just going to be a warm up, and this is going to be, it's going to be, this will be fun. That Ohio State game will be fun, and I'm expecting them that line to look something like 3.5, but Texas to win by 10 or more.
Yeah, I would think, and I know there's a look-ahead line out. I'm trying to pull it up as we speak. I mean, of course, it'll be slightly impacted by what happens in week 1. Now, both teams have cupcakes that they should be able to handle pretty easily. But, I would think Texas is going to be a slight favorite, just like Ohio State was last year with the game in Columbus. Right. And I think it's going to be a preseason top 3 matchup. You know, last year it was number 1 Texas at number 3 Ohio State in the AP poll. I think the Buckeyes were number 2 in the coaches poll, but number 3 in the AP. This year it could be 1 versus 2. I don't know. It could be 1 versus 3, could be 2 versus 3. Who knows? But it's, you know, game day is going to be here. It should be a night game at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. It's without question the best game of the second week of the college football season. And, everyone's going to be watching, and it's a big test of whether or not Steve Sarkisian – I don't know if this is the big one because it's a regular season game, but you know what people are going to say if Sark loses this one, is that he can't win the big one.
Is that 3-3? That would be 0-3?
That would be 0-3 against the Suckeyes in the last three calendar years.
It's time to win the game. It's time to have a – this needs to be a no-excuse – as you say, all in year. And, you know, I'm not saying that just because you win that game that you can't – I mean, there's things that can happen during the course of a season. You can have a bad game, offense, defense, special teams. But early in the season, I like to see them so buttoned up and get off to such a really quick start, and especially on the offensive end. I expect the defense to be flying around anyway the first 2 games. I expect them to be flying around against Ohio State and a quarterback that's going to be in the Heisman picture too. You know, a wide receiver that's going to be in the Heisman and Biletnikoff picture, no doubt about it. And a running back, by the way, that could be in all of that too. I keep forgetting about that dadgum sophomore that they have. That's pretty doggone good. And they will have talent all over the field, as they always do. But there's at home, you got everything in your favor, and you got to get it done.
No excuses to not win that game. No. And Texas, by the way, opened up as a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, this is a couple of months ago when that look-ahead line came out. But I expected. I mean, Texas just kind of given that home court advantage when it comes to the line for that game against the Buckeyes on September 12th. So there you go.
Like I said, there's some teams, BK, that's very important that you beat them with their first-year coaches, because some of those coaches are pretty good, you know, at Florida and that. You need to get them while you can get them. Get them in their first year where they're trying to figure out things, trying to create a culture, trying to make sure that their players understand that they're supposed to win these games and not just be in these games themselves. But it's not like you do that in the third year playing them. You do that the first year. Get them when there's some confusion in what they're trying to accomplish, you know?
Well, I'm seeing four teams with first-year head coaches on the Longhorn schedule. You've got Florida. Don't forget Ole Miss. I know Pete Golding was on the staff last year, and he was the guy during the Rebels playoff run, but he's technically a first-year head coach. That's two. Yep. And then you've got LSU and Arkansas. Those are your four first-time coaches. Three of those four games are at home. But, you know, Ole Miss is going to be really, really good, and LSU, I think, is also going to be really, really good. So those will not be cakewalks just because it's year one. And, I mean, Florida always has talent. Again, I've compared them to Texas in the 2010s so many times. It's like they recruit well. They've got money. They've got resources. They've got facilities. They just haven't had a coach who could put it all together. We'll see if John Summerall is that guy, the way Steve Sarkisian has been that guy for the long.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Good Longhorn football conversation. Is the season here yet? My goodness. We'll get back into some Texas football chatter. We've got some NBA playoff conversation to dive into. We'll recap the action from last night and preview Spurs-Wolves game 5. But before we shift gears, how about some sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, if you're seeking specialized, patient-focused orthopedic care, contact the experts and our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adult spinal care, trauma care, sports medicine, joint replacement. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. And folks, their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Texas Orthopedics. Also a shout out to our guy, Mike McCall, and his great team at McCall Custom Homes. Mike will be playing in the Mullet Open this Friday.
Yes, he will.
Actually texted us before the show. He's like, what time is the Mullet Open again? 10 o'clock, Mike. Better be there on time, sir.
We'll be gone.
But hey, he's always on time, and he's always on time for you as well. If you want to upgrade your home, or maybe you want to build a home from the ground up, McCall Custom Homes, they can do that. They've been doing that here in Central Texas for a long time. It's a father-son team with more than four decades of experience here in the Austin area, so they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly special. Kitchens, bathrooms, outdoor spaces. Maybe you want to add on to your home. You've got a growing family. You need a second story. Need a back house. Whatever you're thinking, McCall Custom Homes, they could do it all for you. A-plus rated by the BBB. Tons of five-star reviews online. They've been out to Bucky's place countless times. They've been out to Rodney's place countless times. When I have a place, they'll be out to my place countless times. They're the best in the business. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com is the website. Free estimates to listeners of this show. Or you can call or text Mike directly. You know, the same number he texted me on. You can reach out to him, 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
And our good friends over at Sue Patrick, of course, with the incredible selection of Longhorn apparel. Tons of Texas-themed items, gifts, books, you name it, a wide variety of men's and women's clothing. Ladies, get your gear, your spring gear. That hat is there, I believe. I believe that hat is still available at Sue Patrick, unless you bought a whole box of them. There should be some still around.
One of these is enough for me.
Yeah, okay. At Sue Patrick's, of course, they offer free shipping on online orders, $59 or more, free curbside pickup, and plenty of parking space right there at 5222 Burnett Road. They've also given me luggage to give away at the Mullet Open. boy, oh boy, that luggage has gone well. My wife is now wanting to buy one of those pieces of luggage for, you know, she wants to carry on, BK, the Longhorn carry on, to give to her son-in-law. I said, I don't know if that dude's worth that thing. How about let's get him a backpack and maybe put his stuff in a backpack, but I don't know about that luggage. But Jay and Sue were kind enough to get me that piece of luggage. That is going to go in the big raffle. I'm looking forward to who gets that. Hopefully some Aggie won't get that. They probably will switch it out for the kayak. Yeah, baby. Come on, I got it all. We love Sue Patrick. For more information, folks, go to SuePatrick.com.
Yeah, tell your wife's son-in-law to buy that on his own.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, you want this thing? SuePatrick.com. That's where you can buy it.
That's absolutely right.
Go get you one. Shout out to Sue Patrick. Absolutely love them. And also a shout out to SendTextTickets.com. One more baseball series left. What a great weekend here in Austin. Weather is shaping up to be really nice, finally. You've got Texas baseball wrapping up the regular season against Mizzou. Three-game series from Thursday to Saturday. You've got Texas softball hosting the Austin Regional as the NCAA tournament gets going on Friday. You want to catch a game at Red and Charlene McCombs Field. Centex Tickets has you covered. Spurs, game 5 tonight. You want to be there. Centex Tickets has you covered. Austin FC will be in town this week. You get my point. Any sporting event around Central Texas, really around the entire state of Texas, you want to catch a Rangers or Astros game this year, boom. They have you covered, plus concerts, comedy shows, Broadway shows, festivals, you name it, all there in one place. You just log on from your phone or computer to SendTextTickets.com and use the promo code SendText10, and you're going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase.
You know, I just see someone just told me, Buck, you miss your mama jokes on Friday. I'm like, hey, way to tell me now. Hey, I'm 71 years old. Cut me a break. That's y'all's job. Mama joke Friday, you let that go by 25 years and you people, that's right. That's not me or you, BK. That's those people who give us the great jokes who now telling me you missed it. What? What are they doing? What are they doing? Lollygagging?
I'll tell you what, man.
They must have been lollygagging during the week.
People let us down.
Yes, you have let us down. Yous people have let us down.
Hey, don't give me a winning bet after the game is over.
Yes. Okay?
Tell us before. We need that information beforehand.
We're doing a lot of things going on, and all you had to do was mention it. I can't believe CB never mentioned it.
Man, maybe CB just thinks so highly of us, he thought we didn't need the reminder.
Oh, really?
Which is crazy.
We are that sharp? We're that sharp?
We are the dullest knives in the for sure. And the dullest tools in the shed.
Yeah, really.
And any other metaphor you could think of to describe two people who are incredibly dumb, that's the twos of us.
We will not miss it next year.
No, we won't. We won't. We might find another time to do the yo mama joke. We'll figure it out.
We'll do your daddy jokes this year. Hey, June's just around the corner. We never have those.
Oh, is that a thing?
I don't know if that's a thing, but we can make it a thing. We can get after your daddy, too. Why not?
Yo, daddy jokes.
That may be good. All right. We'll be somewhere. We're probably at Sue Patrick anyway.
Then we'll switch things up this year, huh?
Yeah, why not?
Everybody.
Give it to dad. You know, Nobody cares about dad. We'll show them how much they care.
Yeah, everybody does the yo mama joke bit. We're reinventing the wheel here on this show.
Show dad just how much you care. Give it to him. See what he thinks about that.
Is it yo daddy jokes or yo dada jokes? Or
yo daddy.
Daddy yo daddy. Jokes. Okay. All right. Yeah. Y'all remind us to do those.
Yes.
Right before Father's Day, because Lord knows we won't remember. We are as dumb as they get. All right. Let's dive into some NBA playoff conversation. Buck, we'll recap the action from last night and then some thoughts on game 5 in San Antonio. The Spurs and the Wolves tied up at 2. But last night, 2 games in the association, the Oklahoma City Thunder completed their 4-game sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers. 115-110, the final score at the Crip last night in L.A. This was a great game. Some of these games were non-competitive in this series, but this one came down to the final seconds. The Lakers actually had a 1-point lead in the final minute. They were up 110-109 with 40 seconds left. OKC closed the game out on a 6-0 run. Chet Holmgren had the go-ahead dunk to put the Thunder on top. The Lakers had a few chances to tie or take the lead in their last couple of possessions. They couldn't get it done. Oklahoma City now 8-0 in these playoffs. And obviously a tough one for the Lakers. We kind of knew they were overmatched going into the series. They were underdogs in every game in this series, and their season ends with brooms at home.
Yeah, that's a tough way for LeBron to go out if he's going out. That's why I don't think he's going out that way. It's not to say that it couldn't happen to him again. It's happened to him twice in his career where he's been swept. So, and that's hard to believe, but for him, I don't know where you would, you know, with his contract, I don't know where else you would end up. I mean, he's not for hire anymore. I don't think he's seeking championships. I think he'd like to win a championship, but I don't think he's running off somewhere to go join a group for a championship. I think for him to end his career with the Lakers, where a lot of greats do, would be the way to go. Maybe one more year, or maybe not even get to next year. Maybe just he may have ended his career as a Laker.
Well, a couple of things here. Number one, that was LeBron's fourth time getting swept. I know the Jordan fans like hearing that statistic.
Of course.
And LeBron's a free agent. He is an unrestricted free agent. So it's going to have to take two to tango. Like, maybe LeBron wants to stay at L.A. He likes being a Laker, and he doesn't want to move again. But the Lakers might be like, we've got Luka, we've got Austin Reeves, and we're going to start building around those two guys. Thanks for that title that you gave us in 2020, LeBron, but we'll take it from here. I don't know. Maybe LeBron wants to go to Cleveland and run it back one more time, right? Back home. I know he's already done that bit twice, but
with Big Game James?
With Big Game James Harden. Oh man. My gosh. Little Game James, although he did play pretty well last night in the Cavs victory over the Pistons. But I don't know. Like, LeBron is an unrestricted free agent. So the contract, like, is he going to make max money like he has pretty much throughout the entirety of his career? I don't know. He's clearly not the same guy he was. Now, he did elevate his game in the playoffs. He played very well for the Lakers in their two series, but he's no longer the best player in the world like he seemingly was for 15 years.
Yeah, and he's not anybody's first choice. He's like the third player on teams now, the second guy. He's not that guy. Wherever he goes, he still won't be the guy, you know?
Right. If he wants to be that guy, he'll go to a crappy team. But if he wants to compete for a championship, which I would think he does, then, yeah, he's got to be willing to do what he did this year in L.A., where he is that third option.
And at 41, 42 years old, money's not a problem. Guy's got $1 billion in his pocket. That guy doesn't need to – it's not about, here's what I need to get on this contract, because I'm going to play for – I'm going to tell you I'm going to play for 4 years, but I'm actually really going to play till next year. I mean, what's the money mean? That can't be one of the things, you know?
I don't know if it's a pride thing. Like, I'm LeBron James. I'm not taking the vet minimum.
Okay, I'll take a little bit over that. But I want to get to a team that can win a championship, because where we are right now, you know, I'm the third choice. And that's what you're going to be. That's where you are in your life right now, dude.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he wouldn't be that on every team. But again, on a team that has title aspirations, he wouldn't be their go-to guy. So LeBron could still play. Like, it's amazing.
He could play for five more years if he wanted to.
It's amazing what he's been able to accomplish at this stage of his career. And again, him elevating his game the way that he did in the postseason, I think sent a message to the league that, no, I'm not done yet. Like, I could still ball. And so there are going to be teams, plural, who are interested in him. If I'm a Lakers fan, I'm not. I would not want LeBron James back. Again, it's not like, he did nothing. This whole experiment was a failure. It's I think you've got to move on. I don't think your ceiling with LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves is where you want it to be.
No.
I would try to figure things out on how you could build around those other two guys.
So, yeah, I mean, he and Joel Embiid are in the same thing. And Joel Embiid, with my Sixers, is the guy that they need to part ways with. I'm sorry the contract's so big, and I'm sorry that people are saying, no, you can't have that guy go somewhere else. Yeah, you can. You got two superstars, and you need to be building around Maxi and the kid from Baylor. Those are the guys you need to be building around. Joel Embiid is going to give you a half a season, guys, period. That guy has to go. That contract's a monster.
Right, that's the issue, right? LeBron's a free agent, but Joel Embiid is under a huge contract that has multiple years left on it. So that would have to be a trade, and I don't think the Sixers are going to be getting a bunch of assets if they traded Joel Embiid. They'd probably have to be attaching stuff to him to ship him out of town.
And you got to give up draft choices and everything. I mean,
yeah. It's funny you bring those two guys up together because the NBA has a huge problem. I think they have a number of problems, but there's a problem that has really popped up over these last two nights. It's called DGAF. Don't give a flip. So we've got two bits of sound here. We'll start with LeBron since his is fresher. He loses last night. The Lakers get swept. That's not fun, right? You would think you lose in the playoffs, your season's done, you come up short of a title. That's a failure. We're disappointed. LeBron says, no, not at all.
Obviously, we fell a little short, obviously, but I mean, I'm not looking at, you know, my year as a disappointment. That's for damn sure. I was put into some positions that I've never played in my career before. Actually, in my life. I've never been a third option in my life. So to be able to, you know, thrive in that role for that period of time and then have to step back into the role that I've been accustomed with over my career, over my life, playing a sport, and be able to thrive under that. And then just my teammates allowing me to, like, lead them under extreme circumstances, that was pretty cool for me at this stage of my career.
Sounds like a guy that just needs to get up on his pony and ride into the sunset to me. That's, you know, I mean, I'm thriving. I mean, you're LeBron James. You know, you're most supposed to be doing more than thriving. He sounds like a guy that at his age just said, you know what? I'm just happy I made it through this. And I made it through it a lot better than other people thought. But for me, I'm okay with it. He just sounds too okay with it. That doesn't sound like him to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. Like, I don't view this as a disappointment. It was a great year for me. Like, you just got swept out of the playoffs, dude.
Yeah, like, that's on you. They pay you a lot of money. That's on you. That's not because you were the third person. You're always in people's minds the first person. Sorry they got Luka and some other young guys, but dude, you were the guy. And you're making it seem like, well, I'm always gonna be just I'm happy to be here at 42 or 43 if he continues to play. I'm just happy to make it. I'm still playing the game at a high level. That's not good. And that doesn't sound like a true champion, you know?
Yeah, that's not what you want from a guy that you're trying to build a championship roster around.
No.
He's not upset that he lost. And here's Joel Embiid. Here's the comparison here. This is two nights ago after your Sixers got swept by the Knicks, and they were non-competitive. They lost game 4 by 30. Here's Joel Embiid after that game. In his post-game presser.
I mean, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. I know we lost, you know, and I know that's not the right mentality to have. But, you know, for me, this was a success. I came into this year not knowing where I was going to be, you know, how long I was going to play, if I was even going to play based on how the knee was the last few years. And, you know, I came in just, you know, hoping for the best. And I feel like we're in a position where we figured out the knee hasn't been an issue.
Those just don't sound like winning mentalities. That doesn't do me. That's about you. That's not even about the team. It's not about the team that I'm on. It's not about the city that I'm trying to represent or the organization. That just sounds like a you thing. That's not good enough right there.
Those are the leaders of those franchises. Like, LeBron's not the best player in L.A. anymore. Embiid's not the best player in Philly anymore. But those are the faces of those franchises.
They get paid a lot of money.
Who get paid a lot of money, and they are both coming out after their teams got embarrassed. Getting swept is embarrassing. I don't care who you got swept by. Getting swept is embarrassing. And those two guys are coming out and saying, for me, successful year. Not disappointed at all. Things went
and Joel
great.
Embiid sounds even worse because that dude doesn't even play during the year. I mean,
lost by 30 in their last game. At least the Lakers were close in game 4. But, like, I wouldn't want my best player to say if LeBron and the Lakers had pushed OKC to a game 7 somehow, it would have been a stunner. I don't want him saying this was a success. I want him being like, we lost. We didn't win a championship. This was a failed season. That's what you're supposed to say. Yeah. And instead, you've got two guys after getting swept saying, failure, disappointment.
Yeah,
Why would you think this is that?
Pretty nonchalant about the money you get paid and just your attitude about being a champion. That's just not a – I'll say that Michael Jordan wouldn't say those things.
No.
You know what? You wouldn't hear him. He would be mad. He'd be slamming the microphone down. He would be pissed at everybody in the room.
Kobe wouldn't say those things.
No.
Like, what has happened with the NBA to where everyone's just okay with losing?
No, load management, all weird stuff. So, like that.
I don't have to play anymore. Thank God. Well, the check's going to keep clearing, and now I don't have to play anymore. So this is a success. Thank God we're done.
I didn't know, Joel Embiid, I didn't know if I was going to be here. Well, yeah, dude, they paid you a lot of money to be here. What do you mean? Well, get out.
Get out. Embiid cannot be on my team anymore. LeBron cannot be on my team anymore.
No.
I mean, there are plenty of other reasons why, if you're a fan of one of those teams or, you know, a decision maker for one of those teams, you'd want those guys out anyways. But like that is the final straw. And Embiid brought his kid. Those random sounds that you were hearing, he brought his son up there. Which is so soft after a loss, bringing your kid up there. That's pathetic. So it's like, don't ask me hard questions. My kid's right here. Don't embarrass me in front of my son. You just embarrassed yourself, loser.
Yeah, that mentality is just, that just doesn't sound like, because like, as I said, I'm used to listening to those. I'm listening to guys like Larry Bird and Magic and Michael Jordan. They would not be talking like that if they got swept. They would be livid. They would be out on the court tonight working on their games. They wouldn't be talking about, well, you know, I just barely survived and I didn't know I was going to be here and the knee was okay. Oh, you just got swept, dude.
Yeah, and you don't even have to go that far back.
Millions of dollars, and you're making millions of dollars.
I know, that's all they care about. It seems like, oh, check cleared. Like, I'm getting paid. We're fine. You know, these players get paid more in the regular season than they do for playoff games. So why should I care about these playoff games? Those don't matter. I mean, all the guys you brought up, but yeah, like Kobe, Dirk, Duncan. It's not. There are even guys now. It's not everybody now, but it feels like that's a problem that's more prevalent in the NBA than ever before, where it's just me. I don't care that the team lost. Screw that. I played better. I was healthy. I was on the floor. How could this possibly be a disappointment?
I've never been a third choice in my career, LeBron. I mean, in my life. He didn't say just in his life and anything. I'm like, well, who cares?
He's just the ultimate complainer. He's mad when he's the first option and he doesn't have enough help. Now he's mad that he's the third option and he does have help. It's just like, give it a rest, dude.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. Like, I mean, I always look to when basketball players talk, I look to those old dudes and just, you know, guys like Michael Jordan, what would they say? They would be pissed that they got swept. They would be so upset. Bird and those guys, Magic Johnson would be, he wouldn't be talking about, well, you know, I survived the year and they don't care. People aren't caring about that. They care, just got swept. How'd you get swept?
Yeah, you get swept, and hey, someone on the Celtics, on the Larry Bird Celtics, is getting traded. Someone on the Michael Jordan Bulls is getting cut, or someone's getting fired, or something like that. For these guys, it's, nah, man, this was great. This is a great season. What are you talking about? Disappointment, failure.
You know, like I told you, for the 76ers, beating the Celtics was their championship.
Yeah.
It truly was. After that, they packed it in. Philly fans, talk about Philly fans being pissed. They should be pissed after you beat the Celtics, and then that was what you do with the Knicks. Really?
No show against a lower seeded team, right? The Celtics were the two, the Knicks were the three. So hypothetically, you would have thought you had a chance to be at least competitive with New York, and
no,
you weren't. So there you go. We'll take your thoughts. We'll save the Spurs conversation. We will preview Game 5 of Spurs Wolves in hour number two.
And you know, I think, and that's, you know, and people's thoughts of the, you know, they've had, you know, the NBA, college basketball, a lot of people watch college basketball. A little bit more people watch, I think, the NBA this year than they did. But that's not – that's because of guys like Wimby right now. That's the new generation that's, you know, and what's happening with the Thunder and stuff. But those guys' attitudes are just horrifying to hear.
It's bad. And it's not every – like, I don't think Wimby would be saying those things if the Spurs lost. I don't think, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would be saying those things.
No, you don't think that guy would be pissed?
Yeah, so it's not every superstar, but it's the fact that there's two of them on back-to-back nights who are saying that is just – it's pathetic. It's pathetic. You wouldn't get that in any other sport, and you get that in the NBA. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. Our old pal Jordan Scruggs from Horns 24/7 is going to join us here in a moment to give us the latest and greatest with Texas football recruiting. But before we shift gears, Buck, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Say to our friends over at, of course, Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a lifestyle proven over 35 years, folks. And my back couldn't be happier. I did a lot of work yesterday, and I got back into my chair and watched games last night. And, boy, my back feels fantastic. And yours will, too. If you get an opportunity to go to the Relax the Back store and you've had some shoulder problems, some neck problems, thoracic lumbar area problems, please call on those folks. They have everything that you're looking for. Zero gravity recliners, adjustable mattress sets, Tempur-Pedic pillows, and as I said, mattress, human scale office chairs, desk, and all the accessories. The vibrating ball, BK. They've got that there. And they've got two great locations too. The Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back.
Yeah, you're sitting on your Relax the Back chair using your vibrator, vibrating ball.
Yes,
watching your AV consultations, 85-inch TV.
There you go.
You know, we talked to Greg Swindell yesterday, as we do every Monday on this show, and I didn't realize he had been hooked up by Tom McKay and the crew at Audio Visual Consultations. He also said he didn't realize that you had an 85-incher.
He didn't realize that? Well, not a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Until proven.
He said he didn't need to know that, but he does now. AV Consultations, they can hook you up with the home TV setup of your dreams. They've hooked Bucky up. They've hooked me up. They've hooked Rodney up. They've hooked Greg Swindell up. I mean, thousands of Central Texans since 1988 have gotten their TV setups elevated by the crew at Audio Visual Consultations. And it's not just TVs. They do surround sound speakers. They do whole home lighting. They can do heated floors for your bathroom. They can put a golf simulator in your home. Anything technology related, anything that makes your home more fun. Tom McKay always calls these toys, the toys that make your home a more enjoyable place to live for you, but also for family and for friends. AV Consultations can install everything. Great customer service, the best products, the best prices because they buy in bulk. Don't buy a TV and then call AV Consultations. They get better deals because they buy like thousands of these things at a time. 512-255-8678. That's their phone number, or you can find out more information online at avconsultations.com.